This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen, alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Brian, let's talk some draft, baby. Let's do it. Of course, you can catch us on the draft show as well as the G-Bag Nation 105.3 The Fan and the godfather of the draft show, Brian Broaddus. You know, sometimes it is St. Patrick's Day, Brian, and I do just have to pinch myself that I get to bleep and work with you every day. Grew up watching the draft show, freaking loved it, and now I get to be a part of it with you. So let's nerd out together, my friend. And like I said earlier, I think now we're kind of feeling where the holes still on this roster.
Sure.
First wave of
free
agency, and I doubt that they're done. But if you look at where still the big holes right now, the one concern for me was, oh no, they've signed Miles Sanders. They've signed Javonte Williams. My dream in this whole draft has been, this is the year. Get your starting running back for the next 4 to 5 years. There's so many good backs. If it's not Ashton Jeanty, and I know you and I would love it, we would stand on the table at 12. Go get that guy. He's maybe the best all-around player in this entire draft when it's all said and done. But, hey, there's a lot of other guys, whether you want to talk Caleb Johnson, Iowa, or Marion Hampton, North Carolina, Travion Henderson and Quinshon Judkins, both from Ohio State. Taj Brooks from Texas Tech. Heck, now we got Tootin, the running back from Virginia Tech. He's apparently going to have a visit with the Dallas Cowboys as well. So I was happy when we talked to Nick Harris from the Fort Worth Star-Telegram yesterday. He said just signing Williams, who's a good third down back, receiving back, pass blocking guy, and Miles Sanders, who I think could be like the Royce Freeman of this year. Maybe he doesn't end up on the roster. You know, no disrespect to him. I hope he comes in and looks great. But I could see maybe if he was, he could be the odd man out. I'm glad that he doesn't think that this has stopped them from still looking at drafting a running back.
No, I totally agree with you. You know, the thing about I watching ATN from Georgia. You know, Vach Lombardi and I were doing our podcast, the We're Doing All Right podcast, and we were talking about how deep this he asked me, have you ever experienced or seen a position group where every player in it from rounds one through say five you liked, you know? And I mean, there are guys in the fifth round, maybe two or three guys in the fifth round on my board at running back that I would still draft. And I still feel like that they could help a team. And so, yeah. And to his point, I'm like, God, you know, come to think of it, that's something that I've never really thought about, but man, it makes a lot of sense. You know, how many times can you say from player one to say you've evaluated 30 players, one to 30 that you just really, really like? that like, man, this guy could help our team. And I think the running back position this year will be one of those times that when we're working on drafts 5 years from now, God willing, that we go back and say that 2025 running back class was unique from top to bottom. And but yeah, I don't feel like this is going to take them out of I don't think they're completely married to any of these running backs. It a lot depends on when we see in OTAs, mini camp, training camp, how they use them and then get to the season. You know, does Williams, because of the blocking, catching, have an advantage over Sanders, who, you know, can do this and not this? But I think their starting running back is going to come from this draft. I totally agree with you on this. I think I'm down to the point now where I'm thinking really four positions. I'm thinking wide receiver, I'm thinking running back, I'm thinking cornerback, and I'm thinking defensive end. I don't know what order. I'm just, you know, I have a feeling, just these gut feelings, that they're going to figure out something, you know, about Mykael Williams from Georgia. They're going to figure out something about Will Johnson from now. My problems with I have, and this is the selfish, this is the scout selfish guy. This is the guy that's not in a war room. And if you're in a war room, you have to put your feelings aside, you know, mm-hmm. But since I get to put together my own board, I'm going to have Green over Williams. I'm going to have Barron over Johnson. Me personally, they don't care what I think. I've said this a bunch. The last time they cared what I thought about was 2005. That was a long time ago. It was 20 years ago. And so, but the selfish side of me thinks Barron's a better player than Johnson and that Green's a better player than Mykael Williams. That's just me. So, but I have a feeling those guys are in the mix for the Dallas Cowboys because of the physical traits that mm-hmm. they have. You know, Green is not ideal, but he's bendy, he's fast, he captures corner, he played at Virginia, so he didn't go to Marshall, and nothing against Marshall or any other small school, but you know, he is a guy you could see production right off the jump. You see those big splash plays with Mykael Williams, you see more of a steady player. Mm-hmm. Will Johnson, more of a steady player. With Barron, you see, and see, I'm looking at guys that don't have the ideal measurables when you start to talk about Green and you start to talk about Barron. The Cowboys have parameters that they're looking at. And sometimes parameters could be a great thing. It could be a great thing your team, you don't want a team that looks like this. You want a team that looks like this. You know, you don't want just mixed match guys. And, but I think they're in the mode right now of that. It's the four position corner or wide receiver, corner, running back, defensive end. It's going to be some combination of those guys, probably in the first three picks for them.
I'm with you. And, you know, I love Mike Green. They might look at Mykael Williams and say, okay, this is a player that we just lost into Marcus Lawrence, who can set the edge. He's got the size. He's got the length. He's good against the run, and we can tap into the pass rush potential.
Yeah.
Where Mike Green, dude, might be arguably the best pass rusher in the entire class. The production's there. Had 17 sacks this past season. Had a tackle for loss in 12 of 13 games. I mean, the get-off for him, and I've talked to you about this, like the one thing that I've noticed now in like year three of doing this with you is the first step quickness off the ball translates. Keon White had that. He's been a really good player for the Patriots. Chop Robinson had that last year. He's now developing with the Miami Dolphins. He's a really, really good pass rusher. Byron Young with the Rams was a guy that stood out to me from Tennessee that's now been a really good third-round hit with the Rams. So, you know, to me, it's like I see that from Mike Green, and I just feel like that's going to translate. He's going to be a disruptive player at the next level. Mykael Williams, to your point exactly, could be a steady 10-year guy.
No but question.
As a first-round pick, I don't know that he's going to be like that massive disruptor difference maker for you.
Yeah, that's the thing that to me, and I'm with you. I have nothing against Mykael Williams. I just think, like, to me, in this day and age, and maybe Turner is the replacement for Tank. You know, maybe Turner, you know, when you start to talk about it, we'll see. We'll see about that. But, you know, here we are. And, you know, maybe they're thinking now differently, Zach, because, and I know, again, it's a 1-year deal. Fowler, Micah.
Sure.
We don't need Green, you know, we don't. But to your point, you said earlier and yesterday was these are 1-year deals. You know, are you going to give up on something you could get now for the future because you have 1-year deals in place? I hope they don't do that. I hope they don't do that. But, you know, that might be the case. And Mikael Williams, you can't draw them up any better looking than Mikael Williams.
Oh yeah,
physically. You cannot draw them up any better looking than Will Johnson from Michigan. You can't. But how do they play? How do they? Are they good looking players that are going to play at this level? When maybe you have a little bit of a guy that's measurables aren't perfect, but plays at that level. You know, that's where you have, my old boss at Green Bay said, hey, the guys that are kind of those smaller guys that maybe, you know, you better walk on water, if you're playing in that way. And I just feel like football players, when you watch them, you could tell, you know, measurable guys, sometimes you're just like, yeah, the measurables are there, but they don't play like a football player, you know? That's the thing that you have to kind of that tightrope that you walk trying to pick these players.
And that's what frustrates me, you know, with the parameters. And there's probably good reason for this.
Oh yeah.
Why they do that. But like watch Jahdae Barron and this guy's a pit bull. I mean, yeah. I don't care if you think he's undersized. He can play inside, he can play outside. I mean, watching him in that semifinal against Ohio State and Texas finally says, "All right, fine. Go over there and take Jeremiah Smith." And he's like, hell yes, say less, put me over there. He welcomes that challenge. Like, right. I want that dog mentality from my corner. And Will Johnson, good player. And I do think his 2023 tape was better than last year. He was banged up. But in my notes, and I don't want to do a disservice to him, I wrote down, like, is he special? I think he's steady. I think he's good. But what is his elite trait? He's well-rounded. Yeah. But I think he's good. I don't know what his elite type upside is. With Barron, like, I could see a dude that could compete for maybe being in the conversation of best corners in the game.
Yeah, I think he's got some of the traits of Trent McDuffie from Kansas City. Yeah, that's the kind of the player I saw. And we all know how competitive Trent McDuffie was. Maybe Trent was a little bit better coming out of Washington. Maybe Trent McDuffie should have been talked about, you know, way up the board. But yeah, the selfish side of me, I have my selfish players, and they have to think about it as a room. They have to, I mean, I'm sure there's somebody like you and I sitting there going, wait a minute now. Wait, you're going to say this about Barron? Wait a minute now. You know, those are the guys that usually get in trouble and get fired like me that are always saying, well, wait a minute. Why are we doing this? You know? So, I think I can narrow this thing down. I would be surprised if they went offensive lineman, even though I would love Simmons at that point, because I'm hearing the patella's going to be fine. But for the Cowboys, I don't know what order, but wide receiver, cornerback, running back, defensive end. I think those are the positions you need to look at.
Yeah, I think if Tet McMillan were there at 12, I think there's a good chance he would be the pick. I actually did hear some whispers just trying to talk to people around the league. And this was good because I was reaching out to people in Carolina, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And this is smokescreen season. So some stuff you get information, but I think this is legit. I don't expect Luther Burden to be in play at 12. I was told they actually have some receivers that are ahead of Burden. I think it's McMillan. Yeah. I think it's Igbuka from Ohio State.
Sure.
And then Matthew Golden from Texas.
There you go.
I think those would be their top three options.
There you go. You know, and yeah, me personally, if it's not McMillan, I have Burden, and I think I understand what you're talking about there. We're not always privy to character interviews or putting a guy on a board or how the personality is. You just watch the tape and watch the guy play. And if he goes, he goes. If he doesn't, he doesn't. Let me ask you this. Would you take Golden over Abuka if McMillan was off the board? Or would you take Abuka over Golden or vice versa, which however I answer, ask you that.
Yeah, yeah. I would take Igbuka. I've got him rated higher by a spot.
Me too.
That's exactly my order. And I think if they want to run the football, you might not have a better run-blocking receiver than Igbuka. But I just think he's a pro, man. He runs, the routes are there, the hands are there. I also think he doesn't get enough credit for after the catch. Like, there were explosive plays made where, much like when you watch Luther Burden or name the receiver in this draft class, Jalen Noel out of Ohio, out of Iowa State, Royals from Utah State. Like, you can throw him the football on a screen and he's going to take it 50 yards to the house. Like, he's got that ability after the catch. But to me, I just think he's a consummate professional. Like, I love the idea of playing him with CD.
Let me ask you this question then. Baron Green Abuka on the board for you.
Ooh, I would probably go Mike Green. He's okay. I've got him rated higher.
Okay, so go ahead.
In that order, I'd go Green, Baron, Igbuka. That's how I've got him stacked.
Okay. That's what I was curious. So in your grand scheme of things, you would go without McMillan at wide receiver. You would have Igbuka.
Mm-hmm.
At cornerback, you would have Baron.
Yes.
Running back, no Ginty.
Caleb Johnson would be my second option.
I agree with you on that one. Defensive end.
Green, if Green's not there.
Oh, Green. Oh, no, Green's there. Green's there. So
Green would be the guy. After that, it would be Jalen Walker, and I'm trying to use him like Micah Parsons.
I see what you're doing there. Okay, so just to recap, I say it's going to come down to, I don't know what order. Wide receiver, corner, running back, end. Your group is Abuka, Baron, Johnson, Green.
Yes. And I don't know if you have this the same. I've actually got Will Johnson as my cornerback four, if I'm not including Travis Hunter. I've got Benjamin Morrison from Notre Dame ahead of Will Johnson.
I'm the same way, and I need to find out about the way my four corners, the way they look right now. Hunter, Reville, Baron, Morrison are all four. My four. That's the position. Cornerback is the position I have the most first round grades in. So I have four of those and three wide receivers. So that's,
there we go.
Yeah. I like your list though. I'd be happy with any one of those picks, but I have a feeling with the Cowboys. Okay. With the Cowboys, let's just take a guess what it would be with the Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be Abuka. Probably Johnson.
Johnson. Yeah.
Will Johnson. Running back.
Running back. Ooh, that's a great question. I'm really not sure how they view these backs.
Do you think they like Hampton? They might like Hampton.
I'm kind of leaning Hampton over Johnson for them, too. I think it'd be Hampton.
Probably Mikel Williams,
don't you think, at edge?
Yeah. Okay. Now it's Abuka, Johnson, Will Johnson, Hampton and Williams all on the board.
Okay, let me pull it up. I think I'm going Igbuka. Yeah, I think Igbuka would be my highest rated guy out of that group.
So Igbuka, how do you have it after that?
Then it would be Mikel Williams, Will Johnson, and Hampton.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. I don't know that I could go any other running back outside of Ginty at 12. I think I would just probably get, I'd probably screw myself, but I'd wait till 44.
I think you and I are kind of alone on Johnson, by the way. I think a lot of people.
I don't get this. I don't get why he's dropping. I don't either.
But they're both of them really good players.
Good players.
Hampton. I mean, I have them. People ask, oh, Hampton at 44. I'm like, was the guy Caleb Johnson available at 44?
Yeah, because I think you're right. I think Hampton's going to go before Johnson. If Johnson's there at 44, man, you and I are going to have a party. I hope they take him.
I hope they take him too.
You are listening to the Love of the Star podcast. Love of the Star is an Odyssey podcast, and you can find it on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.